Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Belle. There's no doubt, honey, that from time to time in all of our lives, we have to deal with, call them what they are, difficult people. Now, we could go through and identify some of the types, but really, you know who they are.
I hope it's not me.
It's not you. Never has been, never will be. Well, let's talk about seven keys to handling difficult people. First, get rid of your difficult attitude first.
Have you ever noticed how the Lord, when you want to deal with somebody, he always makes you deal with yourself
first? That's it. That's exactly right. And some might even say, yes, but Brother Harold, it's not my attitude that's the problem. It's them. Listen, the object of your attention may have the worst attitude of anybody you've ever met, but you can move. You really can't move anybody else's attitude to move your own.
That's the truth.
You got to get rid of any vindictiveness or offense that's occupying space in your mental hard drive. You'll never be able to break through the wall surrounding difficult people as long as you have the wrong kind of attitude. What kind of attitude should you have?
Philippians 2, verse 5 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Look to him as your example in selfless humility. Now that take some looking.
Yes, it does. We need to forgive difficult people before we feel like it.
That's right.
Why, honey? Because that's what the Word of God says.
Amen. Matthew 5, verse 44 in the Classic Amplified Bible. But I say to you, love, that is, unselfishly seek the best or higher good for your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. You know, in the Message Bible translation of Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45, it says it this way. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. That is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty.
The first step in dealing with difficult people is to deal with the one closest to you, meaning you. Second, bless them and don't curse them.
Wow.
When dealing with a difficult person, don't allow them to get your goat or make you angry, upset to the point that you say something you might later regret. Take a deep breath. Count slowly to 10. If you're still upset, count to 10 in Spanish. If you don't know Spanish, look up how to do it before you speak. That'll help with the cool down process. Still need a little help? Here it comes.
Quote Romans 12, verse 14 in the Classic Amplified Bible. Bless those who persecute you, who cause you harm or hardship. Bless and do not curse them. Now that takes the love of God living within us and developing our character all along the way.
Yes, it does. It's very easy to bless those who bless us and make us happy. But how are we going to respond to people who persecute us and try to deliberately injure us? Romans 12:14 says that we're to bless them or persecute us. Nevertheless, rather than giving in to my flesh, start ranting and raving about what they've done wrong or are doing wrong, we should make every effort to follow the instructions in this powerful verse of Romans 12:14. According to Strong's Concordance, bless is the Greek word G2027. And it comes from two root words, G2095, and G3056. G29ify means good or well and depicts any positive emotion. It's where we get the word euphoric. The second root word is G3056, which means to say good or positive things. When these two root words are combined, it means to say good and positive things. So when Paul tells us to bless them that persecute us, he is literally telling us that we're always to return a blessing for a curse, speaking only words about those, well, speaking only good words about those who wish to harm us.
Sometimes we just have to look beyond their fault and see their need.
That's exactly right. Now, I can tell you, your flesh may not like that approach. So you just simply need to tell it to shut up. When we bless difficult people, we move from defending ourselves to blessing those who are persecuting us.
And doing what it is that the Lord would find pleasing in his
And would
life.
Have us do, yes. Third, being argumentative brings you down to their level. There are people who enjoy arguing with everyone about everything, even though they know next to nothing about anything. For whatever psychological reason, some people would rather argue than eat. But that's what the Word of God says we're not to do.
In 2 Timothy 2, verses 23 and 24 in the Classic Amplified, it says, "But refuse, shut your mind against, have nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered, persevering, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skillful and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing and willing to suffer wrong."
Wow.
That's a toughie. Willing to suffer wrong for the cause of right.
That's
really
right.
What we're doing. 2 Timothy 2:24 in the Living Bible says somewhat of this way. God's people must not be quarrelsome. They must be gentle, patient teachers of those who are wrong.
Wow. Fourth, you control the battleground. When possible, pick your battleground. Actually, let's call it a situation room. That sounds better. If you have to deal with a difficult coworker, go to their office when possible. They'll feel more relaxed than being on your turf. This will allow you to have some sway in the conversation. Plus, it allows you to get up and walk out of the conversation if it doesn't progress positively. It'd be more difficult to walk out of your own office. If the conversation is going the way you want, don't hesitate to excuse yourself with a good excuse. Apologize for having to leave, but promise you'll be back as soon as you can. You can even set a specific timetable. By the way, offer a genuine compliment on something in their office. Make it real. Perhaps even ask a question about something you see. People are always more relaxed when they're talking about themselves. Dale Carnegie, the author of How to Win Friends and Influence People, once said, "When dealing with people, remember you're not dealing with creatures of logic, but creatures of emotion."
1 Peter 3, verse 9 in the Classic Amplified Bible, "And never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse, but on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection, for you have been called for this very purpose, that you may inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection." And you know, you can't pray for somebody without and dislike them, not if you're praying from your heart in, you know,
scripturally.
And scripturally, exactly.
Fifth, a merry heart. When in a difficult situation, always look for the humor. My ability to have fun is not determined by the day of the week or even whom I'm around. I look for the humor in every situation because that's what the scripture says.
In Proverbs 17, verse 22, A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The contemporary English version of Proverbs 17, verse 22 says, if you are cheerful, you feel good. If you are sad, you hurt all over.
I love that scripture, that translation of it. Let's see. If you're merry, cheerful, and happy, then you're having fun in whatever you're doing, even with difficult people. If the difficult person you're dealing with is not having fun, chances are they're sad, hurting, and maybe even have a broken spirit. But don't overdo it. Never let anyone else, no matter how difficult, steal your joy or your ability to see humor in any situation. 6, change the focus. Difficult people like to lead conversations. In healthy conversations, the two people take turns leading and following. Sometimes difficult people like to keep harping on what's wrong and why nothing seems to be working out. If you keep going round and round, you can say, by the way, initiate a new subject, thus setting a more positive tone for your conversation. You might even say, thank you for sharing what the problem is. Now let's talk about how to solve it. What's your ideas?
Proverbs 15, verse 1 in the Classic Amplified Bible says, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful and careless words stir up anger. And let me add one more verse, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 in the Classic Amplified Bible. The servant of the Lord must not participate in quarrels, but must be kind to everyone, even tempered, preserving peace, and he must be skilled in teaching, patient and tolerant when wronged.
7, flip the downside, but focus on the upside. How do you turn the tables on difficult people?
Matthew 5, verses 44 and 45 in the Message Bible gives us this advice. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, and then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves.
From that scripture, several things just kind of jump out at you. First, love your enemies. It's easy to love people who love you. But the real measure of your love when it's given to someone else who doesn't respond in a positive manner.
That's God's love within you.
Second, difficult people will bring out the best in you when you respond the way Jesus would have responded. You'll answer with a kind word instead of a sharp tongue. You'll see the upside of every situation.
Just like we just said in Proverbs 15:1, a soft and gentle and thoughtful answer turns away wrath, but harsh and painful words and careless words stir up anger.
From that verse, the third thing we should see is where it says, not the best. I mean, not the worst. Always make a determined effort to bring out the best in someone, and certainly not the worst. Fourth, when you give someone a hard time, see, it's not a question of if, but when someone will give you a hard time, whether you deserve it for a bad decision or not. Difficult people force the fruit of the Spirit in operation in our lives. Fifth, respond with prayer. The scripture tells us to pray for those who persecute us. When we pray for difficult people, we're exchanging our problem with we trade it for the problem-solving abilities of God.
Hallelujah.
6, you're making it happen. When the word is continually applied, difficult people become Play-Doh in the master's hands. A scriptural approach to difficult people always, always wins. We encourage you today to kind of focus on Matthew 5, 44 and 45. We read it to you in the Message Bible, which is a great translation. And those 6 points we just made, you find them all in that verse. Amazing things. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says, sow a seed, just ask God what seed to have you sow. And that's all we'll ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.